Changing the workplace beyond a foosball table and free snacks. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton brings in an HR official to share case studies of how companies who change their employee engagement boost their bottom lines. That chat starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. How many times have we heard this? The nature of work is changing. But for most workplaces, things have not really progressed much past casual Fridays or a new scan and pay cafeteria. One problem may be that we simply are not aware of how things can be made different at work. As a marketing consultant, I always analyzed case studies, real-life applications to workplace theories. Lots of stuff in there. And our next guest has, along with her co-author, pulled together no less than 60 such case studies. These changes don't have to be work-from-home policies either. Did you ever walk into an open house and smell fresh-baked cookies? Think along those lines.
That different people have different personality styles and give people quiet spaces, giving people collaboration spaces. He even talks about bringing smell and touch into the workspace. So it's a really exciting area.
Here's my chat with an HR professional and author of her new book about updating the workplace.
Deborah Corey, and I am the author of a new best-selling book called Build It, A Rebel Playbook for Employee Engagement. And I also am the head of employee engagement at a company called Reward Gateway, which is an HR technology company. So I wear two hats.
You have deep HR experience, and your co-author has deep business executive C-level experience as well. What did you guys see that made you want to write this book, Build It, The Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement?
We're supporting around 2,000 clients around the world. And what we've seen is that the way that we've been treating people at work has basically failed. The statistics have not really shifted over the years. Engagement is really, really low. So we really wanted to provide a tool to help people change that and to challenge the status quo and do things differently.
How do you measure the employee engagement? Is it like email replies or something hopefully a little deeper than that?
Yeah, I mean, each company does it slightly different. Most companies have some form of survey product that they use that goes out to employees. And there's certain key questions, again, depending on the provider that you use, that ask questions so that you can quantify what engagement is. But, you know, numbers are good, but you can also see and feel it in organizations, whether you work there or also, you know, we all go out and we shop. For example, we go on airlines and you can feel an engaged employee by the service they're providing to you.
Yeah, don't more engaged employees quantitatively and qualitatively show they are more productive?
Definitely. And again, there's lots of studies that have shown this. A couple studies have shown that highly engaged workforces have 2 times higher stock market returns, which is fantastic. Lower turnover and more innovation, which in this fast-paced world is absolutely critical.
Okay, let's jump into one of them that stood out for me. I have three. Okay, I'm going to start with the first one for me was analyze leadership roles. Because you have a co-author with a C-level experience and because often a company's culture does come from the top. So analyzing leadership roles, how can a company do that without feeling too defensive about it, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, you are right. Leaders really impact the organizations greatly. We have a comment in the book that we say that bad bosses ruin lives. And that is, if leaders don't walk the talk, if they don't live and breathe your purpose, mission, and values, if they don't lead in the new way that we really are expecting leaders to lead, they're not going to be successful. So you have to look at, first of all, what are the roles that your leaders are doing? Are you setting them up for success? Which I would say about every role is important to set them up for success. And then also, are they really acting as engagement drivers and engagement leaders at your organization? And if they're not, sometimes you have to make the tough decisions and say they're not right for your organization. But again, we need to support them in doing so.
We're speaking with Deborah Corey. She's the co-author of Build It, The Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement. Okay, Deborah, I've been a marketing consultant for some years, from startups to multinationals. And one of your tent poles really stood out because my experience has been alignment is being critical to any kind of organization succeeding. And you say align management with culture change. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, I love that you're in marketing because I think as HR people, we need to be more like marketers. We need to think and act. And aligning our leaders with cultural change is, again, is having our leaders embrace what the organization is trying to achieve. So what is your purpose and mission? And then having them align with your values and drive change in all areas of the engagement bridge. So they can't be just great in one area. They need to be great in all areas, and they need to understand the importance and the role that they have in doing so.
And that goes to mission and mission statements, value statements, things like that, right?
Exactly, exactly. But even, you know, if you think about the bridge with the 10 elements, you know, what are they doing to support people's well-being? You know, they have a role when it comes to that. What are they doing? Open and honest communications. You know, HR can develop the best communications, but if our leaders are not out there being open and honest, then the bridge, we call it the engagement bridge, is going to fall apart as well.
So as we move down the list, and like I said, I can't touch on every one of them, but all of them are important. We're including like institute learning opportunities, prioritize fairness and pay. Hey, there's something Silicon Valley should read a chapter or two about, right? One of the ones that really stood out for me, though, was rethink employee workspaces, because it's been my experience that when I'm onboarded with a new company, I meet my HR department a little bit. Then I don't really see them too much after that until, you know, maybe down the line. But I do go to my cubicle or wherever it is I'm going to be working, and it just seems to be rather static place. Do you have any suggestions or hints or tips here when it comes to employee workspaces, period?
Yeah, and interesting. One of my, I love all the plays in the book. So we've got 60 plays, which are stories of different companies who are doing things differently. But when it comes to workspace, actually, I interviewed Eric Klein from Adobe here in San Francisco. And he really is a pioneer in this area, talking about how you need to bring all your senses into how you design the workspace so that you can create an engaging environment and really set people up for collaboration, for example. So break down some of the walls, but also respect that different people have different personality styles and give people quiet spaces, giving people collaboration spaces. He even talks about bringing smell and touch into the workspace. So it's a really exciting area. And, you know, some people think you need to spend a lot of money, but sometimes it's just a different way of thinking.
One of the reasons your book stood out, and you just exemplified it right there, one of the reasons is because the use cases are rather extraordinary. And Adobe, of course, is kind of a bleeding edge when it comes to the physical workspaces. But I wonder, were there other ones that stood out for you as you went through and you were compiling your 60 plays / scenarios or use cases?
Well, they're all my favorites, just like my children. You
right.
know, I don't have favorites. But what we tried to do, there's a lot of books out there that talk about all the companies that we know about. And what we tried to do is have a range of rebels, you know, rebels in different sizes and shapes. So, for example, I used to work at Gap. We have a great story about what Gap did with performance management and just ditching performance reviews, which is very, very brave.
There are so many great examples in there. It's a really good read. Deborah, thank you so much for your time
today. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That was Deborah Corey. She's the author of Build It, the Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement. In the marketplace, product life cycles are shorter and links between manufacturing and the customer are closer, and the demands for process improvement are spiking. So if you want to stay competitive, increase employee engagement. That's the bottom line. For a link to Deborah's book and other HR-related themes, check out the story that goes with this week's show. It lives online at KGOradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm at KGOJason. Coming up after the break, guarding against the potential perils of personal finance.
I love it when people tell me they can't be conned, because in my mind, they're already halfway there.
Next up, the author of The Madoffs Among Us, combat the scammers, con artists, and thieves who are plotting to steal your money. This is Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton. Please stick around.